needs, like, goggles are one thing, but he needs, like, a full face mask, you know, gotcha. Like a paintball mask.
Like, in order to even play, he's got to have that on?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I saw some of the kids on there that have just, are you recording already? some of the kids on there have just, like, shooting glasses on, but, you know, I prefer them to have a full face mask, so.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Two Dimension Comics, the podcast with no direction. This is episode number 47, and we have the entire crew here tonight. I'm your host, Dallas Busha, and with me...
Don Moore.
Dr. Morbius.
And Rook.
What's up, gentlemen? How are you all?
Good. Great.
All right, let's...
Wow,
super.
That's like an encouraging... good...
Don't get too
Don
excited.
Don doesn't say a damn thing. Al jumps right in.
Don's been tired since last night. He came into work this morning, and he had that don't talk to me look on him. Yeah, you know,
don't rattle the cage.
You guys got mandatories again?
No.
Oh, hey.
It's my own fault. I have a student that had to move away to Washington, D.C., and she came in this week, and last night everybody was there. It was just nothing but fun at the class, and it was tough, and then we went out to eat. And we just hung out till late at night. And then I got home. My daughter called. I didn't get hardly any sleep. I was already exhausted.
Well, you're going to be a bundle of joy tonight then, aren't you? No, it's really nice to have all of us back again, too. This is kind of becoming like a thing again. It's been a long time. And now the
last... It kind of feels like we're actually doing a podcast.
Yeah, like
it?
We're all friends.
Wow.
It's a very special episode.
This is the countdown to episode 50, right?
Countdown to whatever.
Our gala 50th episode is coming up soon.
How do you count down to 50?
Okay.
It's a count up to 50.
All right. Well, we've got a lot to talk about. We've got kind of an interesting topic tonight, and I thought it would be really fun to jump into it. So, was it you that brought up this topic? Somebody brought this idea up.
Oh, yeah, it was mine. Well... You know, when you have friends that read comics, it's fun to lend comic books to each other. And even if it's not something you normally like, you still grab it. But what I was always wondering was, if you knew somebody that didn't have any interest in comics whatsoever, what would you lend to them? You know, like a lot of times, most of the comics you see are superhero-based. And everything that you lend to people is something like that. So what would you think of for people that wouldn't normally read that they would enjoy and understand the form that we like so much?
I think this is a really great topic, a really great idea. And it just brings into question, like, how do you get into comics, especially if you're an adult? Now, I think all of us got into comics when we were pretty young, when we were kids. And it was, you know, when all of us were young, comics were very popular. They're not so much now. And if you've gone through most of your life not reading comics, and then suddenly... you want to get into them, you're, say, a teenager or young adult or older, how do you go about it? How do you get into it? So,
I mean, are they not popular with all the movies that are coming out? I thought they were pretty popular. I mean, maybe people aren't buying them that much, but the idea is pretty popular.
I think that's my perception. They are popular, but as far as sales, they're not.
Well, you know, Al makes a good point. You know, with all the movies and things that are coming out, comic books are becoming more popular. They're becoming more of a mainstream concept. Example, I'm hanging out at the comic book shop the other day. Guy walks in. I want to say he's maybe in his, let's say his late 40s. Okay? You know, just average guy, you know, unassuming. And he's sitting there and he's going, hey, you know, what is this Walking Dead thing? I understand it's a comic book. What is this thing? I don't get it. So we all start talking to him about Walking Dead. And he's like, alright, so Why would you get into this? Is it the story that much different? Is it the value of the comic? He goes, I don't understand. So we're trying to explain to him what the appeal of reading the comic is over just saying to hell with it and watching the show. You know, for everybody, I think it's different.
Well, there's a good example. I actually just had this conversation with Promi at work the other day. And I brought up The Walking Dead because we had gotten on the conversation about The Hobbit and why he had never read the book and why he would want to read the book compared to the movie. And I pointed out that there are two different art forms. So let's take comic books and TV shows, okay? Walking Dead in particular.
Right.
They're two different art forms. They're two different ways of telling a story. You can only do certain things in each of those particular mediums. There's things in comic books that you can do that are exclusive to the comic book medium that you can't pull off the same way in a TV show, and vice versa. So you get two totally different experiences reading the Walking Dead comic and watching the Walking Dead show.
Absolutely, I agree. But as far as, like, to go more to the topic, what you're saying is, how would you take the TV show watching person and get them to read the book? You know, they're sitting there going, oh, well, the show's enough for me, or the movie was enough for me. You know, how do you truly get them to make that crossover and start reading those books?
Well, that's an issue there. People remember comic books. I mean, you read newspaper comic strips, you know, everybody collects Garfield books and everything. But a lot of times when you have a comic, they dismiss it. I mean, even to this day, oh, yeah, a comic book, like it's a little trite thing. And every once in a while, you'll have a piece of material that you will recommend to somebody. So why don't you try reading it? A woman worked for me that just didn't see any appeal to any animated cartoon, drawing, newspaper thing. She was completely prose. And one time we were talking, I lent her a book. She had one of the old Walt Kelly Pogo collections, you know, the old ones from the 50s.
Right.
And I said, how did you get this? And she goes, she gave it to me. Because, oh, I had a friend that just kept going on and on, just felt I had to, you know, I had to appreciate it, so she left it with him. And never touched it, never had any interest. It was that type. So that's the thing I was wondering about, was what would you recommend to somebody like that? At a point, Dallas lent me the first Walking Dead trade. Now, I watched the show, you know, you've talked about it. And when I read it, I enjoyed it just as much as I do the show. In some ways, a little bit more, but it's because I love the form. I love how Tony Moore drew and laid the thing out. I loved how the story went. And but again, anything done in a comic form, I would probably appreciate. But what would you lend to somebody that just has no appeal to the form?
That's a tough one, man, because I know specifically people that have no, they're just totally realistic or real, and they're not into imaginative stuff.
Right.
And I think it would be impossible for some people, you know. Too practical for their own good, maybe.
I honestly can't say there's one book that I would recommend to everybody.
Right, right.
Each individual is different. Take someone who is already a novel reader, someone who reads novels on a regular basis.
Right.
I might recommend something like the comic book adaptation of I Am Legend, or maybe Mouse. Something like that to those individuals. Now let's take someone who is not a novel reader, you know, doesn't read comic books. Obviously, I don't really associate with those kind of people because, let's face it,
right.
If you're...
Philistines.
I mean, come on. If you're not... If you don't read, what the hell is wrong with you? But and I hope you're not listening to the show because, you know...
Why would you?
But, you know, what would you recommend to someone who's not someone who is into reading a novel or, you know, sits and reads? That's a really difficult question.
Well, I was thinking about, what about your parents? Could you recommend a comic book to your parents that they would read? Because I know my dad wasn't into it. My mom's not into it. You know, an older person from a generation before us,
right.
they might be, oh, wow, I remember that character. Yeah, but I don't know if they would actually be able to go and start reading a book. I think it would have to be from maybe yours and my generation runs forward whatever.
Sometimes people read a comic book. It's just like seeing a movie. I've got the Lord of the Rings. So I'll wait for the movie, you know. When I was in school, you know, you'd always have to read in English class, and this one guy just stopped reading. I said, why aren't you finishing the story? Oh, I saw the movie. Which is kind of lame because it's not always the same. In his case, he really flunked out of that one part, but you know, a lot of times people will read a comic adaptation of something because it's easier than reading a prose novel.
And you know what, too? Something just popped into my head. I may be wrong, but back in the day, it seemed like there was stuff that you could do in the comics that they still hadn't perfected yet in movies and stuff like
yes.
that. You can get away with some stuff in comics that you couldn't in movies. Now, the movie has kind of taken over it a little bit, you know, as far as effects and themes and stuff like that.
That goes along to what I was saying, although a lot of comic books, and I would think maybe that Ultimates line that came out, in the past decade, those kind of, the way those are written or storyboarded out in comic form is almost like a storyboard of a movie. They're actually set so you can almost imagine
They were very meant to be that way, too.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
I think there was an effort to almost make them cinematic. With all comic books these days, with anything current hitting shelves, I think there is effort to make them more of a cinematic piece.
Yeah, I
think that's kind of a sad thing, though, if that's all you're seeing. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, but if that's all you're seeing on the shelves, you're really missing out on the potential for comic books as an art medium. You know?
Yeah, because back in the day, you know, getting back to the old creepy and eerie
ding, ding.
Comics... Thank you. There was stuff that they did in them that you kind of, in the 60s, maybe you couldn't get away with. Maybe in the 70s, you started to, because it loosened up. So there was kind of like, they were doing stuff, even in the 50s especially, they were doing stuff, it was like juvenile delinquency or whatever.
Well, yeah, the whole reason they brought Frederick J. Wortham in there, why he rose to prominence.
Well, there was an edge there.
That's also a personal... personal look to it. I mean, it's a very, you know, how you put it together is your vision. And it's just one or two, you know, sometimes three people. But it was more intimate than just a whole board of people putting together a show or a movie or anything.
Yeah,
and
maybe the mainstreaming of comics is kind of, maybe that's one of the reasons why they're not as popular, you know what I mean? Because it really
someone has
is.
A good point.
It really is.
It's, you know, at the same time, though, I can think of some comics where it was a whole team. The X-Men, when Chris Claremont, John Byrne, Terry Austin, when that whole team, Tom Warzenchowski, it was a team, four, five, six people? They were just hitting on all cylinders. That still, to this day, is a high watermark people talk about. You know, the whole early Marvel Universe with Jack Kirby and Stan Lee, you know, Steve Ditko. That was some more of it. There are times where a whole crew of people can really make magic.
Well, the stuff in the 60s, I think it was just the whole 60s. You had the Beatles, you had Kirby. I think everybody was probably trying to outtop themselves as far as what they could do. It was kind of like a weird little Renaissance era or whatever.
I like how you put Beatles right next to Kirby. That was pretty cool.
Kirby is the Beatles of comics, man.
Oh, absolutely he is. You can't argue that.
Marvel is the Beatles back in the 60s, before you had DC, which was like, you know, whatever, the 40s or whatever.
All right, so if Kirby's the Beatles of comic books, what does that make Alan Moore?
Alan Moore is the
Grateful Dead?
No. Alan Moore is Frank Zappa.
That's good.
He's Frank Zappa.
Yeah,
I was gonna give him more. He might be the Aleister Crowley of comics or whatever. That's going into like some, you know, dark places. Yeah.
He pretty much
whatever.
Is the Aleister Crowley of comics, actually.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe.
Well, one of the reasons I wanted to bring this topic up is, I don't know if everybody else does, but I have a specific book that I picked, and I know Rook's completely right about saying that you can't pick one book for everyone, obviously.
No.
But I just kind of making a broad assumption, I was hoping maybe each of us could pick at least a book or two or a series or something like that that they would suggest to people that don't read comics.
Okay.
So, for this show, I would like it if each one of us would just pick one thing, and then, you know, later on we can do this again.
Okay. Well, I'll be short, so I'll start. I'm already short.
Bazinga.
My book would be Scott McCloud's Understanding Comics. It's kind of an easy one for me. Now, the reason being, what Understanding Comics is literally a book about the comics form, how to read comics, how comics came about, what they can do in their respective medium, but it's a comic book. It's full of panels, drawings, word balloons. If it was just a prose book, a regular book, I think it would be really dry. You know, the way Scott McCloud goes through stuff, but it makes it really exciting that he's got images. He's actually made a comic book that's an informative book. And I think it's a really interesting, fun book. And so, for me, for people that haven't read comics or are interested in comics, or at least interested in it as an art form, this is a great book to look into because it's very informative. It's entertaining, which is the most important part. So they get the best of both worlds. They're learning about the comic while they're reading a comic, so it's kind of teaching them how to read a comic, and they're doing it. They're not only doing it in theory, but they're doing it in practice, too.
Well,
and it's fun.
He analyzes everything in that book. And he brings up things I never thought about. When that book came out, it was just kind of a brief note somebody mentioned. And then it just kept going and going and going. And next thing you know, every comic you picked up, Bone, Jeff Smith was going on about it. And it became a mainstay. But there were certain things he started explaining. He was showing different things, like how some of the Marvel artists were showing speed. You know, they were having making the character all blurry, you know, with a bunch of lines. And then he started showing, I think George Tuska, he's giving examples of that. And then when he went on, he started talking about Japan, how the Japanese showed speed. And it was basically just, you know, solid graphic lines in the background. And he went on and on about, you know, why we relate to cartoon characters. He was showing an electrical plug, you know, a socket, and how you can see a face. And he was just bringing up things on timing, you know, and everything that showed you the appeal of comics and what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. And the whole thing you just said about an electrical outlet, it's the basic form of a human face. And the more basic and more universal it is, the more you can relate to it, really. Or the more, the larger an audience can relate to it, because it's more universal, it's more generic.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah, that is a really good book, actually. You know, I like the Will Eisner book, too. The
Sequential Art.
The Sequential Art of Will Eisner, yeah. I like that one, too, a lot. So as far as... But that's more like a how-to book in a way. The McCloud is how to read. Maybe the Eisner's more how to draw, maybe, or something like that.
I haven't read that one. I can't really comment on it, but it's Will Eisner.
Yeah, that one's
sure.
A nice one, too. Well, McCloud starts his book off talking about that. And he was saying he wasn't making a... Will Eisner's book was basically how to make them, you know, do them.
Yeah, the nuts
and bolts of it. What Scott McCloud's book was trying to analyze and understand the whole form from a thinking perspective. I just mentioned that woman that worked for me that had no interest in, you know, comics or cartoons or anything. I lent her that book, and she read the whole thing. And at one point I asked her, are you reading? Oh, yeah, it's interesting. You like it? And she said, well, it's not like when I've got times, oh, boy, I can go read that little book. You know, it was her attitude. When it's finished, she wrote a note inside it. It says, well, of all this time, I have to admit, it says, you were right and I was wrong. Well, she's not a comic fan, but she said, I finally understood the appeal of why you guys liked it. Much like trading cards when Rook pulled out his three giant encyclopedia books, and 20 years later, I understand the appeal.
It also used to be a guy thing, mostly.
Well, I always knew girls that read. My mom read comics.
But it was not the superhero, not the mainstream ones. It was always the Archie.
Well, it was it was always
the romance comics.
Well, the romance. My mom loved scary comics and the funny animal comics, adventure comics.
Yeah, but now women are far more entrenched in the comic book industry.
Right.
I mean, take a look at Gail Simone. I mean, an amazing writer right there. And I mean, you want to talk about a woman who's really breaking ground in this industry. Gail Simone's a fantastic writer.
Yeah.
And
you mean the one I confused with Amanda Connor?
Yeah, genius.
And I thought she was the newscaster down here.
But, you know, and actually, this is interesting. Sorry to veer the topic for a second, but did you guys happen to see all the news today talking about how different women's groups and women are upset about the Big Bang Theory episode last night?
Why?
No.
It was promoted as the girls go where no girl has gone before. They went and visited the comic book shop.
Yeah.
You know, part of me says, you know, hey, this is a little tongue-in-cheeky, you know, the girls that are in this show are not your comic book shop girls.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of people are upset over the idea of, well, women read comics, blah, 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 blah.
I don't. It's obviously generalizing, and they did that joke as something that even if you are a girl that reads comics, you get the joke.
Exactly.
So I don't see what the problem is.
I don't see the problem either. But you know, there are people out there that are just so determined and you know just aggravated by the idea that you know they would make this bold statement on there.
Yeah, that's why I don't watch TV.
You're better off for it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So, that was my pick, Understanding Comics, by Scott McCloud. Who's next?
All right, I'll take it. Back in the 70s, all the comic shops always had an underground comic section. And in the late 70s, King Tut went on tour, and everywhere you went, you saw Egyptian stuff. He was, you know, King Tut's, that Golden Casket cover was on the cover of National Geographic. You saw 60 different coffee table books of the King Tut exhibit. Egyptian stuff was everywhere. And they had an issue called The Cartoon History of the Universe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the third issue was about Mesopotamia, you know, the Nile River, and it was all Egyptian stuff. So I bought that, read it. You basically have a guy with a time machine that takes you through the entire, you know, history of mankind. On the third issue, he's basically talking about the Egyptian, you know, civilizations and went on. While I'm reading this, it kind of bothered me, and I didn't buy any more issues because he kept bringing up biblical things like the story of Abraham going to sacrifice his son to God, and at the very end, God decided, you know, it's okay, don't sacrifice him. But he was playing it off as a cartoon thing about, you know, Abraham was a crazy guy, you know, and said, it's okay, you're spared, you know, and, you know, his son was kind of freaking out, like, yeah, you're nuts. Well, reading that in the Bible Belt, I felt like I was going to be struck down for reading, you know, anything like that. So I never bought another issue. In the 90s, I found the ninth issue when they were talking about China. And that's something I never really got too much in any history class I took. They never really talked about Asian civilizations. I only read about this stuff as an accident. And that one, it told the whole story of Sun Tzu. He wrote that book, At War. It had a...
The Art of War, yeah.
Yeah, The Art of War. And then he had, you know, basically history of silk, the history of all the different dynasties. And I thought, this is the most incredible thing I ever found. I found a little comic store in Sarasota. Never found another book. And, you know, again, that was something that aggravated me. Now you can get them in five fantastic trades.
Look at the size of these
babies. Woo. But, the first three books are called, again, The Cartoon History of the Universe 1, 2, and 3. Well, the third one, he's basically talking about the Middle East. You know, and this is right after 9/11 when I found it. And he's telling the whole history. He talks all about how Islam spread, you know, and how it went on. I knew very little of these things. I lent this to somebody I worked with. She was a retired school teacher. And she, Marianne, we were talking about it. She was surprised about, you know, some of the things I brought. How do you know this? Well, I got a book. And she and I would trade books all the time. And I said, oh, could you loan it to me? I'd be glad to. She says, but it's a comic book. I figured she wouldn't want to touch it. And she would still want to borrow it. She read it, and she asked if I had any more. And I was surprised. And when she goes, oh, Don, I think in a comic book you can find far more, you know, information you can trust. Well, you know, that was a rare thing. The next two books, they changed the title to The Cartoon History of the Modern World. The cartoonist himself, I guess, wasn't crazy about it, but his editor convinced him that, you know, that's the way to go. But it went all the way up to, basically the United States, the founding of the United States, which, since I've studied that my whole life, I wasn't really that interested and excited, but he told it in a different way than I've ever heard. And basically explained about all the things that he set up to the revolution. And in the last book, he finally goes into, basically, he gets up to the Gulf War. And, you know, you can tell he's getting upset about all the things that happened. And he finally stepped back and said, that's the issue. If you're an historian and you're too close to the information, you need to step away. And that's where the series ended. But I've enjoyed reading all five of these books. I think it's fantastic they're available. I've gone into bookstores and seen them on the shelf. And I've learned more about the founding of this country than I've ever learned in 24 years of school. So,
I think these books are fantastic. And I wish I would have known about them a few years ago. I have a friend of mine who was a school teacher, and she was actually looking for exactly this.
Right.
She was looking for something in the comic book form that was educational. And these look fantastic. I really wish she was still a teacher so I could recommend these to her. It's unfortunate I didn't know about them.
It's got a sense of humor. It's kind of funny because the fourth volume I was reading while I went on vacation to Washington, D.C. And I have to admit, the United States really owes a big debt to the Netherlands in a lot of different ways. And no offense, it's really a country that I know very little about. And now I realize how much I owe somebody I never thought about. So thank you very much to the Netherlands. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, you need to read Cartoon History of the Modern World. And more than likely, you want to start that off with the three books of Cartoon History of the Universe.
By Larry Gonick?
Yeah, Larry Gonick. He was a mathematics major in school. And he started doing the cartoons on the side for the paper. And he was talking about, he was in San Francisco, I guess it's where he's born and raised. And he went to the Last Gasp offices, and they loved the idea, so they started publishing it. And I guess that was the last days of the underground comics, you know, scene. And he was in an interview I read, and he was talking about, at the time he entered it, they were all at odds with each other. I guess the funny animal underground cartoonists were upset at the pot-smoking underground cartoonist. And I guess there's a bunch of different camps that were all at odds with each other. But I don't know when he stopped actually doing the single book, the comic book itself, and just started turning them. But at one point, Jackie Onassis was his editor at, I think, at Doubleday. And he was talking about what a fantastic editor she was. And of course, you know, she passed away and somebody else took it over. But she was highly enthusiastic about it. But again, I still walk into stores and see these. It's hard to recommend something you really love if it's going to be hard to find. But again, five books, you can get them anywhere you want or tell them you want it. And I was shocked to find out just how many books this guy has done. He's got the Cartoon History of Mathematics, Cartoon History of, Statistics. And he said that's his bestseller because in school everybody has to take statistics. But he's got, he must have 100 different books, you know, on these kind of things.
And these really are great books. This was a good choice because when I was a little younger, I had a lot of friends that didn't read comic books but read these. And just like understanding comics, they're informative, but they're entertaining too. They're actually fun to read. So, all right, well, why don't we take a music break? And then we'll jump back into everyone else's. So, I haven't thought about anything, and we forgot to talk about this. So, does anybody have any music they want to play?
Sure, we'll pull another one off of the CD given to me by a local group. This is off the Tampa Bay Hardcore Rumors and Reputations CD. Today we are going to play for you, let's see, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, number 12 looks good. This is the band Hellbent with Blood.
Here we go!
And that was Hellbent from the Rumors and Reputations compilation CD from Tampa Bay Hardcore.
Yes, yes, it was.
And we'll have a link to that in the show notes. Thanks to Don. Thanks, buddy.
And I'd like to say something before we move on. Digging through all these books, trying to find what we're going to talk about tonight, I was in the closet, and I found something that I have to apologize to Rook about in the closet. Last summer, Rook lent Dallas Alan Moore's Black Dossier.
Oh, man, I totally forgot about that thing.
Well, I did, too.
I'm gonna have to start making people have library cards here.
He lent it to Dallas and said I could read it when Dallas is finished. And I really enjoyed the book, but while I'm reading it, it has a pair of 3D glasses in it. I took the glasses and put them somewhere, and I brought the book with me on vacation. When I finished the book, all I thought was, my God, where are the 3D glasses? Tore the house to shreds. I was trying to find a thing. I was panicking so much, I didn't know what to do. And the book sat there. I didn't bring it back to Rook, so I finally ordered it. Got another copy. Well, I enjoyed the book so much, I thought I was going to buy it. So it comes in. The cover's different. The same book. I thought it was kind of odd. Some of the stuff on the inside, the comic strips and little books he had in there, is in a different order than it is in this one.
Really?
And I'm like, is this the same book? I was panicking. I was going through. And I got the 3D glasses out of it. I thought, well, I'll just put the new 3D glasses in with this book. But I was remembering the 3D glasses having a wood grain. You know, it looked like a steampunk kind of thing. And the ones I got were black with, you know, green highlights and stuff. I'm like, you know. So I was really kind of panicking.
I love this because I totally can't remember it.
So I thought, well, this is going to bite. Well, eventually I did find the glasses on my drafting table under 4 feet of paper. And same exact looking glasses. I don't know where I came up with the wood grain, but... So anyway, I put them in. I thought, all right. Well, I haven't seen Rook in a while. And when we're all going to get together before Christmas, I thought, oh, no. I saw my copy. Okay, I gave it back to him. Fine, it's been that long. So digging through the closet, trying to find these, you know, card in history and everything... I pulled out. So I've had this book for, I'm going to guess, a year. Anyway, I enjoyed it so much that I did go and buy it, and I recommend it to everybody. And Rook has a copy now if you'd like to write in and borrow his. Anyway, I'm very sorry.
Yeah, but anybody that borrows it next will have to fill out a library card.
Or at least leave us some reviews on iTunes.
And make sure those 3D glasses are with it.
Yeah, library card.
That's hilarious, because I honestly had forgotten all about this book. I really had.
That's great.
Well, evidently I did, too.
So before the music break, we had started to talk about books that we had recommended to people that don't normally read comics. I brought one up. Don brought one up. Either of you guys have any ideas?
Okay, me. All right.
After you, good sir.
You know, I got in trouble once with the library for not returning books. They actually, like, banned me or something like that.
only Dr. Morbius.
Only Dr. Morbius. Yeah, I owed him, like, $5 on some book. I forgot to take it back, so I was like, hey, sorry. You know, so I never actually ever since 1983, I've never been to a public library since. I think I'm, like, a pariah at the library.
You're probably welcome now. They have comic books at the library now. They have all kinds of trades.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they
trade
do.
Trade paperbacks, everything.
They had the Walt Simonson Thor omnibus.
Well, that's cool, too. My friend says they have a lot of movies and CDs that you can borrow.
Yeah.
And like, he said he went to one near his place, and he got, like, they let him borrow, like, 10 movies or something.
Yep.
You know, so it's like...
They, you know, and the couple of the libraries by us have good obscure books. I found Black Hole by Charles Burns.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a great
really?
Comic. And a lot of Will Eisner stuff.
And if your local library doesn't have it, you can just, you know, go to the help desk and tell them what you're looking for. And another library will have it. They'll send it over. And you can keep it for 3 weeks.
Hopefully there's, like, a statute of limitations and I'm okay now, you know. I mean, it's been 20 years or whatever.
Wear a fake mustache.
Yeah, yeah, or grow a fake mustache or something. I don't know. Anyway.
How do you grow a fake mustache?
That's why I'm Dr. Morbius, because I can actually grow a fake mustache. Anyway, one Coca-Cola, I'm telling you, and I'm done, you know. I'm gone. Anyway, My comic book would be the first comic book I ever bought, Fantastic Four number 57. This isn't my actual copy. I just rebought it at the comic shop the other day for a really good price. But that's a book that started me into comics back when I was a little tyke, as they say.
That's awesome. It's so, also awesome you just randomly went to a shop and bought Stan Lee and Jack Kirby's Fantastic Four number 57.
Well, Comics World, it's funny because I went in there and he didn't have any books. And I said, I see a stack back there. I go, what's the deal with those? And he goes, oh, somebody brought them on consignment. Want to look at them? I go, sure. You know, so that's there's that one. There's another FF. And I'm like, all right, consignment, how much? So he gave me a real good price on it. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I don't know where my old one is. I may have sold it throughout the years. So I bought it back for like, I don't know, $12 or something like that. And it's 1966, so, you know, it's like, it takes me back to when I was a kid. And that's the book that I picked because it's like, it's Marvel at their peak. It's Jack Kirby at his peak. It's Stan Lee at his peak, I guess.
Why know, the long pause?
It's different. It was something like, it was like, we were talking before the Beatles. It was something different. It was something new. It was something like, what I don't know what you want to call it. It's got like this great Dr. Doom, the Silver Surfer, you know, the Fantastic Four. It's got all these crazy characters that kind of changed things. So, you know.
Well, they're icons now.
Yeah, they're like movie stars now, you know. But back then they were just four color books that adults didn't think highly of, and, you know, people were like comic books or whatever. So, yeah, this would be the one I would say. Start out with this as a kid. I don't know if I'd give it to an adult, but an adult might enjoy it too. Start out with this, and if you like it, I mean, you know, the sky's the limit. There's 40 more years of comic books that you can check out. There's like hundreds more issues of the Fantastic Four and tons of Jack Kirby and, you know, all that good stuff. So, yeah, I would start with this.
Yeah, and all the stuff is in trades now, too. So
yeah, you can get the black and whites, even though it looks way better in color.
Yeah, and they were made for color. I'd rather
These were really made for color, yeah.
The good thing about those trades and essentials in the is that they're always in print, so you can always go and find those fairly easy.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I don't know how to explain it. You know, maybe it's a nostalgia thing. Maybe it's a... It's just a book that just seems to me like it jumps at you. It's simple storytelling, but it's also got a lot of... I was ridiculed by a teacher once in school because I mentioned to her that it was in the 60s, too, that I mentioned to her in a science class that I had read about cloning in a Fantastic Four comic book. She goes, oh, my God, that's a comic book. Please don't bring comic books into this conversation. So whatever your name was, teacher, ha, ha, ha.
Hey, there's some solid science behind Fantastic Four stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Truthfully, you know, Fantastic Four, I mean, let's face it, science is basically scientists chasing after science fiction. It really is.
Oh, that's
right,
been
right.
Proven many you know, times. Yeah.
So, you know, things that you were reading as a kid in comics, it's now become science fact.
It has.
I mean, truthfully. Like, right. Let's look at Star Trek, for example, with the communicators, tricorders, you know, things like that. Hi, I got a tricorder sitting right here in my hand right now, you know, my cell phone. So,
where's the Enterprise?
That's one issue on that, was they had those tricorders, they also had the communicators, and now you have a smartphone smaller than all of them that can do all those things and more. So,
exactly.
Yeah. The coolest thing is I saw online... I think it was made in Canada. There's actually like an invisibility cloak. You can actually buy some cloak that you can wear and it makes you invisible. That is like totally comic books to me. I can't wait to get one of those. I want to bring it to work and and see what happens. You know, I just want to stand behind people and see what they say.
I can think of a number of places I'd want to go, and
yeah.
Work's not on that list.
No, I wouldn't want to go there. You'd go to jail for that. Yeah, no.
Oh,
jeez. No. Stay away from that. You know, work is just some good hijinks that could be, you know, accomplished there. But, yeah.
He's thinking pranks. That's what he's thinking.
Yeah, I'm thinking pranks. I'm not thinking like, well, you know, whatever. Anyway.
So I guess it's my turn now. You know, I've been racking my brain over this. I really have. And you guys, you know, I stated earlier, it really depends on the individual what
yeah.
I would recommend.
Yeah.
It really does. I can't pinpoint really one storyline that would appeal to everyone.
Right.
I really can't. if I was to go back and look at anything that I've ever read and just say it was like something I could broadly introduce someone to the medium of comics with, I really can't say what it would be. I honestly don't know. Everything that I recommend to people to read is based on how I know them, what I know of their tastes, right, and dislikes and things of that nature. And I'm sorry, but I have to tap out on this one, guys. I really cannot come up with a single one shot that I could recommend in broad generalization.
Well, let me ask you a question. What did you get into comic books with? I know you and I started reading it around the same time, but what are some of the books that got you into reading comics?
For me, those who have listened for a long time may remember the comic book Shred.
That's what I was just
that
thinking.
I talked about long, long time ago. You know, skateboarding, vigilante superhero, you know.
Yes.
Shred was the first comic I ever started reading. That was my thing. I mean, we were young, we were skating, you know.
Skateboards,
like
tattoos, graffiti, stuff like
yeah,
that. You know, when
yeah,
you're a kid, you're into that.
You know, looking back on that now, you know, with I see this guy on a skateboard with a gimp mask, you know. I mean,
yeah, what was I thinking?
Yeah, I kind of wonder why I turned out the way I did.
He's wearing a gimp mask right now.
Shh, you're not supposed to tell people. You know, and then from there it went into, like, the 90s X-Men series, you know. So, but that was me. That was what got me into comic
right.
books, you know. What works for one wouldn't work for another. Like, with my son, his introduction to comic books was Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right.
I never cared for Sonic the Hedgehog. You know, granted, I have a Genesis in my video game collection. I have many of the Sonic games, the
right.
Sonic and Knuckles, you know. But that's not a game that I'm really into. I don't really know where that came from with him.
Well, when I was a kid, and I started picking up comic books, it was always the Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dell would put those out. And the old ones from the 60s, Frankenstein Jr.,
yeah,
that
yeah,
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I didn't... at the time, I hadn't seen some of these cartoons. That's just what I, you know, went to. I wouldn't read them as I got older. But, you know, when you're younger, Sonic the Hedgehog would probably be along the same lines. It just catches your eye.
Yeah, you saw it on TV. And that's the same. That's why I got into Marvel. I saw the Marvel cartoons on TV, and I'm like, oh, man, that is so cool. However cheesy they may be now, I got to get a comic book because I want to, like, see more of these stories.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the individual that, you know, like sitting around the comic book shop, I've been in there before, you know, and people are like, oh, well, you know, I don't know what's good, what's good. And it's like, okay, well, what are you into, you know? I had somebody in the store just before Christmas when I was hanging out there. He was looking to get his niece into comic books, and he was telling me how much she loves Batman. I was like, okay, well, you know, let's take a look at some of the Batman stuff, you know. He goes, yeah, but she's never read a real comic book before. I was like, well, how old is the kid? She was like 8 or 9 years old. I was like, okay, well, some of these Batman graphics are going to be a little heady for her. Let's not think about these, you know. Let me take you over here and maybe, you know, a little Young Justice or something to that nature, you know. Like I said, the recommendations I would make are tailored to the individuals.
All right, fair enough.
So that's a cop-out on Rook's part. Well, one thing... No, I'm joking. And you are right. And that's one thing I was thinking was a lot of times, comic series I loved were usually superhero-based. And if they weren't superhero-based, if you were, you know, not in comics, you'd still look at it as a costume character, even if it wasn't really quite a superhero comic.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that you've talked about quite a bit with passion is The Walking Dead. A lot of people are reading that. Granted, it's a TV series now. But I'm really shocked when it's just on Facebook, people only read comic books, have a picture of that first hardback, finally got it in the mail, can't wait to read this. And, you know, reading the first trade Dallas lent to me, I really enjoyed it. I liked how Tony Moore tells the story. I liked how the story progressed. It was different enough from the show. And granted, I love the form. I could read a comic book about a toilet repairman and still enjoy myself if it was done right.
Done. Yeah, I'm absolutely writing one.
No, but I'm just saying that it's the form and how you tell a story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love seeing how people, you know, artists, you know, their own interpretation of things and how they do it. And that's the one thing I love. It's also the timing. If you're reading it yourself, you're controlling how fast or, you know, or how slow the story goes, and you can concentrate on certain things that you see.
Well, that's one thing, real quick, that's exclusive to comic books is pacing. You can't match the kind of pacing comic books does in movies and even novels. You can do pacing in movies and novels, but not in the same way comic books do it. And I've always loved that.
Well, I think it's because comic books transcend that visual and literary media. I don't think transcend would be the right word.
No, I think they do.
They put them into a realm together that is unseen in most things.
That's why they're so badass.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the panel changing thing too. You know? Yeah. I mean, the movie screen is always the same.
Movie static. It's always moving forward.
Yeah.
You can pause and rewind, but that takes you out of it. Whereas with a comic book, it's a little different.
Well, no, because when Seinfeld did that backwards episode, that kind of blew that away from comics.
But I have a question.
Always comes back to Seinfeld.
I have a question that, an all-encompassing question that I just thought of right now, because that's how things happen. As the years go on, through all your years of reading comics, how does your perception change? Do you read it as a kid? Then maybe as you grow older, you want to start getting involved in it, so maybe you read it as somebody who wants to get into the industry, maybe, or be a writer or whatever. Then the older you get, you may want to read it as, like, you know, nostalgia or whatever, you know, or maybe you read it as a progression of what went on, you know, throughout the years. I always wondered what, you know, how people perceive the books as they move on through life. I mean, do you see the comic book the same way as you did as when you were a kid, Don? Does it feel the same way to you? Do you see it through the same eyes as a story? Not as, like, you know, you're looking at the, you're seeing it. Because I feel that sometimes I look at a comic book more as the way somebody is creating the book, more so than an actual storyline.
I see what you mean.
You know, I see it through a different set of, you know, eyes.
When I was a kid, I used to see the comic. It was just something that I couldn't even come close to doing. I didn't think of them as drawings. It was just something, a magic thing that was there. I guess I was about 9 when I started realizing people drew them. It's kind of a funny story. I started realizing that all the people that wrote songs, all the people that drew comics, all the people that did these things, nobody my age was doing anything like that. And I started getting a mad panic at 9 years old that at one point these people are going to be gone and we're going to be stuck with a bunch of people that can't do anything. So
that's pretty heady for a 9-year-old.
Yeah, I know. So thinking of that, my logic was, I need to try and write a song. And about 20 seconds into it, I just gave up and went on about it. Thank you. But, yeah, it was a song that made no sense. It had no melody. But, anyway, and, you know, I should play that for a music break sometime.
Your song?
You should.
I mean, that's Elton John.
Yeah. But, yeah, now when I look at it, I'm always, again, I'm still amazed what people are able to do, but when I do it, I'm wanting to draw it and look at what they do and pull out the sketchbook. So I guess, yeah, in a way it is, but to this day, that's still my favorite thing, is to find a comic book and sit down and read it.
Because I can't stop myself when I look for a book, analyzing how they do the book. It's just, I don't know what it is. It might be because I draw and I'm an artist and I'm more into that aspect of it. I mean, I read the story, but sometimes it's like, oh yeah, that's a nice story, you know. And I'm not getting the same, you know, feeling sometimes.
No, I definitely know where you're coming from with this. I mean, just for example, I mean, when I go through and I see the comic books today that, you know, they're rehashing some of the newer stuff, rehashing storylines that I've seen before as a kid. You know, it's one of those things where I feel like, in some ways, it's insulting to me as a reader, where I saw them do the exact same thing with the exact same characters 10, 15 years ago. and now they're doing it again. In some ways, it's insulting, but in other ways, it's nostalgic to me as well. That's why I started reading, sliding away from the major labels and starting to find other things to read, because you know those guys, they're stale, they're stagnant, they've had their time, and you know they're the big money draw, sure. But the comic book industry has so much more to offer than the top three.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The top three are just your introduction. You know, they're your entry-level drug.
But, you know, I think when we were talking about rehashing, I honestly think comics, even in the very beginning of the Golden Age, are rehashing. They're rehashing old movies. They're rehashing pulps.
They're rehashing... myths, legends,
all the stuff that gone on before, they were taking it. It's just what they're doing now is they're rehashing themselves again, which, you know.
So that's why I would, for me, I would tell somebody to read the FF57, because it's a simple, you know, book or whatever, and then, you know, it takes me back to when I just kind of like read it for what it was, and I didn't look at it in different sets of eyes or whatever. That's what I was trying to get at in a roundabout way or whatever. And we have a cat here.
Hold on. Everybody be careful. That's the nasty one.
Mean cat.
Nasty?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, like
yeah,
that cat's going to fight somebody?
She'll let me let her out. Oh, no, she's going over there to hide. Okay, we're safe. Okay.
All right.
Well,
thank God.
Gentlemen, on that note, I think I'm going to wrap this episode up. I had a really good time. I thought we had an awesome discussion tonight. And also, this kind of leaves... something open for next episode. We'll be able to talk about books that we would recommend to each other.
Cool. Ooh,
and I'm excited about that. So everyone listening, thank you so much for listening, and you can look forward to that on episode 48. Just a couple pimps. We're just a couple pimps. Now I want to pimp out Don's blog.
Oh, thanks. I never update it, but thank you.
Oh, well, you can find it, what's the URL?
It's donmo2re.blogspot.com.
I'd like to also pimp out my own webcomic. It's the Mighty Blue, and you can find it at mightybluecomic.blogspot.com. And I'm up to, I think I posted part 47, maybe. And Al, a.k.a. Dr. Morbius.
Slow Robot A Go-Go, where we review movies and have fun and... We're going to have a drinking contest on this next episode. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, God, can I be on there?
Yeah, sure, no problem.
And, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to check out our friends over at Yancey Street Comic Books and our newest set of friends, that's Game Traders. Both of those you can find links for on our website and on our blog.
Yeah, on the sidebar.
That's right, and the website is?
I don't know. It's on the sideboard. Just click on the Alien Invader.
No, I meant the two
dimensions.
Our website.
Listen, you type in any number we give you, it's going to take you to a bunch of dork site, and they don't have a link to our page. The best thing to do is just type in...
Two Dimension Podcast.
Find us on
Google,
Facebook, kids.
And then go to the WordPress page, not the old Blogspot. But if you do go to the Blogspot page, there's a link to the WordPress page.
Are we on MySpace, too?
No.
No. Okay. But like Rook said, we are on Facebook. So if you guys want to join us on Facebook, we always have fun conversations there. Or at least we have Don trying to start up fun conversations.
We need to get a Twitter.
We're also on iTunes as well. Please leave us a review. We would appreciate as many as we can get.
And one more thing, Al has a blog as well.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right, Destination Nightmare, where I take everything, comic books, movies, you name it, and do it in a written form. So far, it's going to be in written form.
Look at this guy getting multimedia.
I'll tell you.
No talking, just writing, just pictures and letters.
Nice.
Making posts at a rap. I thought you were fast putting up your pages. This guy has been posting B-movies. He's been posting old horror movies. He's posted about two or three Golden Age comic stories, which I enjoyed greatly.
Oh, wait. And it's CREATFEAT forever.blogspot.com. Crete Feet forever.blogspot.com. That's the URL. I'm not sure if you can get it. It's Destination Nightmare Blogspot. You may be able to Google it, but I'm not sure.
Well, it's on the side, the very bottom of the sidebar of our blog. It's a little pink spiral. It's linked there, but
click on the pink spiral.
You will enjoy reading it.
Yeah, and we do have naked pictures.
Of us?
Of ladies.
Oh. I haven't seen any of that.
Well, just one.
I'm going to have to go look closer now.
All right, on that note, we're going to end the show. So thank you once again, everyone, for listening, and please tune in for the next episode. And until then,
read more comics.
I guess you guys